And Sacred Select used to be some of the red-lettered versions, front or back cover. I can't recall which one, but I believe that used to be red-lettered. So that's fantastic to sing that again. So good to be all out with you tonight, and so glad that so many of you took the time to come out this evening to open up your Bibles again and study together out a portion of God's Word. That's exactly what we intend it to be, and I hope that you'll follow along, and if you have questions about anything, I'll be thrilled to discuss it with you afterwards. Just see me. I'm always standing there at the back, so just come up and we can talk about just that. You know, it is customary to say a few nice things about the preacher and his family, so I will. Donna's a wonderful lady, and I think that about does it, doesn't it? I think so. Okay, all right, very good. You know, I did enjoy spending the evening with them there on Saturday and all day Sunday, and they invited me to come back to stay anytime. In fact, there's even a nice little chalkboard. She had a nice little welcome sign for me in the bedroom, and that was great. Very much appreciated their hospitality and spending time with the brother there and talking about a variety of scriptural things, Bible things. And I think I think the direction his heart goes and his passion, I believe we sync up pretty nicely. So I very much enjoyed that. And your hospitality, too, inviting me in your homes. And I told someone last night, I'm going to miss you all. It's been a wonderful, wonderful week here. So thank you very much for your hearts and for your hospitality and for your dedication and love of the Lord. And so I've come to understand a little bit of what you have going on here, the talents and the abilities. I think the congregation is set up very, very nice. They do some wonderfully successful things in the Lord's service in this location. So I simply, certainly wish you all the very, very best and Godspeed in the work that you do in this area. So tonight, then, we're going to transition only slightly. This whole week, we have wanted to become more sensitive to the needs of the folks that we are seeing day in and day out, to friends and the family members, to co-workers and the classmates, the kinds of things that they are into and the things that make sense to them that shouldn't make sense, the things they've experienced, the beliefs that they have that hurt them so very badly, and how to get into their reality and take them from where they're at to where they need to be able to be saved in Jesus Christ. And so tonight we're going to transition only, like, as I say, slightly, because we're really going to talk more about us. More about us as Christians. Because sometimes we have difficulties. Sometimes we feel some helplessness and hopelessness. Not that we should, but we can. Now you see, when we first come to Jesus Christ in obedience and belief to Him and in baptism to Him, oftentimes in the early stages of our walk with the Lord, there are revolutionary changes that take place in our lives. Great big things. Maybe we had to change employment. Maybe we had a spouse that did not belong to us. Maybe this, maybe that. We had to cut some ties and take on some new ones. But big changes, revolutionary type of changes. Well, but as time goes on, there's still changes to make. But they're not those great big things. And it's not a one-time decision, but it's these series of small decisions. And so our progression then as a Christian becomes not so much revolutionary change as it does those small evolutionary type changes in our lives. Now, sometimes we don't necessarily like it when things change. But then when we do want things to change, how quickly do we want them to change? Right now. And not everything just changes right now, does it? Sometimes it takes the long haul, that long bit to get there. And in that, we start to have feelings. Will I ever get there? Am I ever going to get this right? Will I ever be free of that? So yes, we as Christians, as we are growing and progressing in our Christian lives, as we're making those small changes which have big effects in our lives, we ourselves look inwardly, and we can be frustrated at the kind of progress and the slowness sometimes of that progress. And so if you've ever felt that, if you've ever experienced that, then tonight's lesson is for you. Tonight's lesson is entitled, Wretched Man That I Am. Let's open up our Bibles and let's go to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7.
And I want you to go all the way down to verse 24 and listen to these words. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Who says those words? But the Apostle Paul says just those words. You see, folks, sometimes I feel like a lousy Christian. I just feel like a lousy Christian. And if we could just have a moment of vulnerability and some honesty with each other. How many in this room, by a show of hands, how many have just ever felt like a lousy Christian? Like you could be doing a whole lot better than what you're doing. How many besides me? Thank you for raising your hands. That's right. We go through that. I was confessing to the brother over here just last night. I regularly fight feelings of, I'm not doing enough. I need to be quicker to things. I need to be more efficient, more effective in things. There are areas where I can be working that I'm not currently working. I need to get to that. I think we all go through those kinds of feelings. Very natural. You see, sometimes, though, it goes a step further. I am a lousy Christian sometimes. That, in fact, does indeed happen to us. But you know, I don't want to be a lousy Christian. I don't want to be slow to things. See, I want to do things that are right. I want to do things that are good. And sometimes it really gets me. It makes me mad at me. It makes me feel like a failure. It makes me wonder if I'll ever get this right. And some folks can start to wonder. They can really start to wonder. Maybe I was more deeply broken than I thought. Could it be that I was so deeply broken that it's beyond the Lord's ability to really fix what was broken in me? And if you've ever been down any of those kinds of roads, I do want you to understand that Satan delights in disappointment. He delights in despair. These are playgrounds for him. And if we can stay there long enough, he might just be able to own us. And if you've ever felt in any form or fashion anything that we've talked about so far this evening, I want you to understand that the Apostle Paul, yes, the Apostle Paul identifies with you. And as we read together tonight here in Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 8, I hope that you will identify with him. There is a debate that happens. There is a pull that happens in Christians' lives. And that is the pull between the spirit and the flesh. We know that we're not supposed to walk after the flesh. We're supposed to walk after the spirit. And yet sometimes the flesh just pulls on us so hard that it seems to dull our spirit. And there's constant pulling back and forth between them. Let's begin to read just a little bit. Let's look here in Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 14. He says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin." The greater discussion that is going on in these chapters leading up to this and beyond is the fact that there's a difference between the old law and the new law. And so the old and the new, and that is front and center. But in the discussion of the old and the new and how we ought not to go to the old, we live in the new and all the reasons to live in the new, in the midst of that is this very personal section from the Apostle Paul, where he keys you into what is going on in his life, what is going on in his head. And so often we look at the Apostle Paul as a man who took very large steps. And it just seems like he got everything right, and he got it right then, and he's just such a powerful individual. And he was those things, but he tells us who empowers him. But in those quiet moments when he is praying and when he's reflecting on his own life, and I'll say to any of the teachers and preachers and elders in here, we spend a lot of time preparing lessons and preparing scriptures to go out and to talk to someone else about those scriptures. We spend so much time looking at the scriptures to put a lesson together, to offer a lesson that'll be edifying to folks. None of us as teachers and preachers and elders should ever negate our own time with God's Word. Just God's Word and me. And the reflection that I need to be seeing in that word, of me in that word.
And no doubt the Apostle Paul was taking that time and looking at himself, looking at the Word and making that comparison. And he's giving a very personal inside look at himself. And he is using that then to compare, where am I better off at, under the old law or under the new? And it's hands down, decisive, where a guy like him and someone like us is far better at. But wretched man that I am. Now look at again at verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. You see, the trouble is not in the law of God. The law of God is spiritual. It is good. The trouble is not with the law of God. The trouble is with me. I am all too human, and I am all too prone to sin, carnal and unspiritual. Unspiritual, material, phenomenal in nature. And it so dominates some individuals that we have to just simply call them a flesh. In the very beginning, God created man in His image. In the image of God, He created him. We have a spiritual side to us. We said the other night, and I appreciate Jan putting it out there on Facebook. We are spiritual beings that are on a physical journey. And how we conduct ourselves in the spirit in this physical journey determines where our spirit lives for eternity. But there are some individuals who are so fleshly, even though they're supposed to be so spiritual and have a spiritual side, they're so dominated by the flesh that we just have to call them fleshly. It's like there's none of the other in them. And so the apostle says, it's not a problem with the law. The law is good, it is spiritual, it is of the Spirit. The problem is me because I have way too much flesh to me. Sold, if you will, into bondage to sin. Bondage implies a direction in our lives. So the question is, between flesh and spirit, where are you? Where are we in this? Where do you live? Some people so live after the flesh, thinking of things of the flesh, the pleasure of the flesh, the answer the wants of the flesh. And the desires of the flesh, there's so much so we just have to call them flesh. But we are supposed to be the exact opposite of that. We are so dominated by the things of the Spirit, the wants of the Spirit, the desires of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the things against which there is no law. We are so to be dominated by that in our lives that we ought to be able to be called all spiritual. And so where do you live? Where have you set up your house? What dominates your life? How do you think? When problems arise, you know, it's interesting, psychologically speaking. You and I could put on a very good show playing roles, and we could put on a really good show with each other and all this. But when the pressure gets on us, when the weight of a situation, when we get emotional, we drop back to the core us. To that inner being who we really are, and that is what comes out. And so our goal is not to be able to bite our tongue or to keep our tongue, but our goal is to be so dominated by the flesh that the tongue doesn't want to say those certain things. Not that we have to bite the tongue, but the tongue isn't tempted to say and to do. Where do we live? How do we think? What dominates all those things? Where is your mind? Where is your heart? Is it on the things of heaven? The things of earth? What dominates you? Because again, bondage implies direction in our lives. What are we under the power of? Which direction are we going in our lives? In verse 15, notice this. He says, "For what I am doing, I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I would like to do. But I am doing the very thing which I hate." Can you identify with that? He can identify with you if you can identify with that. It's sort of baffling. It's sort of bewildering to me. We kind of have this moment of, what's wrong with me? Why did I react that way? Why is my mind there? I know where my mind ought to be during the Lord's Supper, but I find it adrift. How did my mind get there? I don't want my mind there. on Wednesday night, what we were talking about, the images and the stories and things that could lead our minds this way and that way. Why would I look? I know what Job said. Why would I look? What am I doing? I got to get this right. I got to get a handle on this. I knew a man that had given up his cigarettes and he'd been away from them for 15, 20 years. And yet, and his favorite thing were little Swisher sweets. And yet, though he had been away for 15, 20 years, if he was around or near someone who lit one of those up, his mind went right back to it. And he hated that. But his mind went right back to it. But remember what we talked about? The neurons that fire together, wire together? Sometimes old habits can be very difficult for us to break.
Paul says it's bewildering to me. What I carry out, I just don't recognize in its true nature. It's as if being a slave here, a slave that's performing his master's behest, and yet I don't even know what his end goal is. That's the kind of not understanding that he's talking about. And he says, the very thing which I hate, that which my moral instinct condemns, because I am of the Spirit, and yet my flesh drags me over that direction. I am a guy that wants to be 100% spirit. But I feel this pull in the flesh. It's frustrating. I so want to leave that flesh side behind and be dominated completely by the Spirit.
Again, I say to you, if you have felt that pull where in your mind you knew and you wanted to do what was right and yet you felt that pull and you said, no, I can't. And you just keep fighting that feeling. You keep fighting that pull and you keep fighting that. I want to tell you something. That's actually good news in your transition. That's good news. Because if you were primarily of the flesh, guess what? The flesh wouldn't have any problem with it. The flesh said, yeah, go ahead. Kind of like, you know, the stomach is for food and food for the stomach. So if you get hungry, eat. And some had that feeling about immorality. Remember this? Well, you know, food's for the stomach, stomach's for food. So you get hungry, you eat. And so I feel an immoral pull over here, maybe sexual things. And so I have a pull to that. So obviously I've got an appetite. I just need to go satiate that appetite by doing something immoral. That was some people's philosophy. Is that a fleshly type of thinking, or is that a spirit kind of thinking? Pretty fleshly, isn't it? Pretty fleshly. And so if you're having the debate and if you're having the fight, it tells you you're doing nicely in your transition over here into the things of the Spirit. So good for you. Keep fighting. You're getting there. You're getting there. It's a good thing. In fact, those who are totally of the flesh, when they fill those appetites, they not only go and fill those appetites in the flesh, but sometimes they go and they have a parade. They parade it. They make flags and hang them outside their houses for their sins. They encourage others to participate in their sin with them. They give hearty approval to those who will do the same things. This is something that's of the flesh. We are of the Spirit. Let's look at verse 16. In verse 16, notice this, but if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing the law is good. If you confess, if you're confessing this, if you're seeing that, if you understand that, what you're saying is, one thing is wrong, because that's of the flesh. But you're confessing then that the law is good. You're taking sides with the law. And again, this is good news. I know it's frustrating to you as a Christian because you'd like to be totally dead to all things sinful. But what you're seeing is a progression where you're leaving one thing behind and taking something else. And when you feel that, and you feel that pull, you, my friend, are confessing that the law is right. The law is good. And I am wrong for wanting and feeling that I ought to go and do something in the flesh. Again. You're doing well in your transition. Let's look at verse 17. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. Where am I? You see, there's something else at play here. Because I have confessed the Lord. I have promoted him. I have said the law is right. The law is good. This is the right way to go. And so for me in my thinking, since it is of the Spirit, that's the way I want to go, and yet I feel a pull to go the opposite way. So is it really me? Is it really me? But what is it? Well, here's what it is. What it is a sin principle that is at work in us. That's the reality of this. There is something else that is at play. And the thing that is at play is the sin principle is in place in my life presently. Not that it ever has to be forever, but at present there is a sin principle in that regard, in that area, in present in me right now. And it is that sin principle that is drawing me to the things of the flesh. But in the spirit, in my mind, I know this is the way I ought to go. Now let me give you an example. A route that you drive on a real regular basis. You've driven it again and again and again. You could do it. You could virtually do it in your sleep. You shouldn't, but you could. Have you ever been in a route like that and you suddenly kind of realize, I am in the right lane and I needed to be in the left lane? Why am I in the right lane when I need to be in the left lane? I know better than that. What was going on? What was going on is the fact that you were probably distracted by something else. You were thinking about something else. Your mind was somewhere else. And you missed what you knew that you ought to do. So it wasn't a problem of knowing what to do and wanting to do that, but the problem is your mind was on something else, and so therefore you went a different direction. Folks, it happens to us spiritually as well. Where we know the right thing to do, we want to do the right thing, but unfortunately in that moment, in that situation, our mind was in the wrong place. There's a sin principle at play. Now please understand, this is not an excuse. But as an acknowledgement in our lives, in that area, there is work to do. There is work to do. I have discovered that there is a sin principle in my life in that area. And it must go. So far from being an excuse, it is a realization that something has to change. You know, I get a variety of folks that tell me a variety of things that are going on in their lives, and sometimes, and I appreciate that, sometimes I'll get a person that'll come up to me and say, Rob, I'm really struggling with something. It's good to acknowledge that you're struggling with something, but sometimes, if we're really honest with ourselves, to say that we're struggling with it, is just an outright lie. We're not struggling with it. Long ago, we took the white flag and we waved it. We said, I'm out of the fight. I'm not fighting anymore. And we've given up on that. We've acquiesced to that. We've surrendered that ground. Folks, we do need to struggle. It's a war. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. And we need to be honest with ourselves. Sometimes that is a cop-out statement. I am struggling. Sometimes it's true. Sometimes it's a cop-out to say we're struggling. If we're struggling, then it needs to mean that my mind is over here on the things of the Spirit, but I have the sin principle in me right now that I'm trying my best to be dead to, but it is pulling me this way. That's a struggle. But when I am making no attempts to fight against that flesh, no attempt to go the opposite direction, that is not a struggle. That is just giving myself over to something that is of the flesh. In verse 18, let's look at verse 18, it says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for the willing is present in me, but the doing of good is not. I have the intention, the urge to do what is right, but just don't seem to have the power to carry it out. I say, I'm going to get it right this time. And then I do a face plant. I get up and I'm going to do it right this time. And down I go again. I'm going to get it right this time. Down again.
It happens to us. It's frustrating. Makes us think about giving up. Makes us just wonder, was I born this way? It's just who I am. It's just what I do. I had a person legitimately tell me, you're going to say this has got to be a preacher story. It's not. I had a person legitimately tell me one time, Rob, it takes people like me to make people like you look good. Think about that. That's a person who's just taken the flag, the white flag, and just waved it. I'm just owned by this, and I'm not fighting anymore. It's just how I am. Folks, listen to what he's telling you here. I get it. We have to have the intention, and we have to have the purpose to go and to do this. Notice in verse 19, for the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. That has to be our attitude. The things of the flesh, I do not want it. The things of the Spirit, that's what I want to practice. That has to be the set of your sail. That has to be the direction of your life. Verse 20, but I am doing the very thing I do not want. But if I'm doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. There's that sin principle. As far as me and my house, as far as me and my life, as far as me and my mind, I am of the Spirit. That is what I am going to be. And if there's anything that's falling short, it's because there's a sin principle in me that pulls me that way. And as soon as it is absolutely possible, I am going to be dead to that sin principle. That has to be the Christian's attitude. Verse 21, I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. You see where he's at? My mind is of the Spirit. That's where I'm at. That's my life. And if anything else happens, it's because there's a sin principle, and that is what I'm trying to be dead to as soon as I possibly can. And this, again, is a reason why you need to be in every single Bible class. You need to be for every single sermon. You need to go to every single one of these gospel meetings. You need to look at the board and find out when gospel meetings are at other places. You need to go there, too. Because we need the information, and we need an encouragement to be dead to the things of sin. That sin principle has to die in our lives. Bible studies, your own, group studies, whatever it takes, you need to be armed with the information to be dead to those things and alive to the things of the Spirit. Verse 22, for I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body. Remember, spiritual beings on a physical journey. In my mind, I'm one way, but I am being pulled by the flesh in a different direction. I see a different law in the members of my body waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. You see, I endorse the law. I delight in the law. I love my new name that I wear, the name of Jesus Christ. I love my new nature that I have taken on. I delight in all of this. But in the sensitive appetites and the will of the flesh, there's a different thing that rules here. And he says there's a war that is on. It's waging war in my life. And brethren, I'm just going to say it, and please hear me in this. It has got to be a war. Nothing we have said tonight excuses us doing anything of that fleshly nature. We have to be at war with the things of the flesh. Dead to those things and alive to the things of the Spirit. But what I don't want you to be is discouraged, down and out, and giving up because you still feel a pull for the things of the flesh. That is the reality of our existence. And we will fight that fight. And in Jesus Christ, we'll win this war. But a war it must be in our lives. In verse 24, here's the Apostle Paul's feelings about this. Wretched man that I am. If you've been frustrated with yourself and aggravated with yourself, spitting mad with yourself, if you've ever been that with yourself, disappointed with yourself, please understand the Apostle Paul knows right where you are coming from. Wretched man that I am. Who will set me free from the body of this death? And I love it. How unhappy I am. How pitiable I am. How wretched. But notice the next part of this. Who? Who will set me free? Because my best efforts have got me right here. My best thinking has got me right here. Who is going to help me? It's kind of like the Ethiopian eunuch. Do you understand what you're reading? Well, how can I unless someone explains it to me?
It's like the Macedonian vision. Come help us.
We need someone. We need someone. Our best thinking got us here. Our best actions got us here. Our standard of righteousness got us here. I need the who to come and set me free. Notice verse 25. Here's the who. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord! Exclamation point. The who has arrived. The answer to my feelings of wretchedness has come with the answer and the solution to it. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, my flesh, the law of sin. Who will set me free? God has sent an answer. And He sent an answer in His Son, Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for sending Jesus Christ to be an answer to this problem that we have. So let's look at this in chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We have beat this drum all week long. Every spiritual blessing is in Jesus Christ. You want the spiritual blessings? You need to be in Jesus Christ. You want the hope? You need to be in Jesus Christ. All of that is in Jesus Christ. You want it? You've got to be in Jesus Christ. And you get there through baptism, and you stay there through your continuing obedience to Him. It's all in Jesus Christ. You see, none of it, none of the good things here in this chapter 8, verse 1, there is all sorts of condemnation for being outside of Jesus Christ. If I get into Jesus Christ through baptism, but I'm trying to be justified by the things of the law, there's still condemnation to me. If I get into Jesus Christ, but I'm still trying to live after the things of the flesh, and that's the set of my sail, and that's where I want to be, and I'm okay with it, there's still condemnation to me. But to be in Jesus Christ, and to be living after the things of the Spirit, notice here in verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No adjudging guilty of wrong if we're in Jesus. My goal, folks, is for when God looks down upon this earth and He locates and He sees Rob, I do not want Him to see Rob. Because Rob has got faults, he's got foibles, he's got issues. Just ask my wife, she's sitting on the back row. Rob's got issues. But what I want him to see is Rob, who is then completely covered in Jesus. Clothed in Jesus. His life hidden in Christ. Because then what he's able to do is to look down and to look at pleasure at Rob. Because he sees his son. That's what I want to be. That's the set of my sail. And we're in Jesus Christ and we're living after the things of the Spirit, you can be that. And so while we're frustrated with ourselves, and rightfully so to a degree, we ought not to be despairing or discouraged. Because we can still be looked at with pleasure by our God because we're in His Son. Those who live and walk not after the flesh, but after the things of the Spirit. In verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. We have been set free from those things. What an amazing blessing that is. The law, our law, my law, the law that has set me free, that which I obeyed, the law of my new beginning. I delight in this, for the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ. Not of frustration, not of despair, certainly not of death. It's not a law of death. It is a law of life. And so when I'm in Jesus Christ and walking by the Spirit, that is a life to me. That doesn't make me dead, it makes me alive. And Christians, we need to take that to the bank. We need to rejoice in that and be comforted in that, thrilled in that, and let it motivate us in that.
By a show of hands, how many like to play a game when you know you're going to lose? Me either. Me either. To take it on and to know from the moment you sat down at the table and they put some confusing board game in front of you that needs 15 pages to read to understand the rules of it, you know, it's going to take an hour and a half and I'm going to lose. I am not real interested in those kinds of games. I really am not. And in the Christian life, if we really believe at the end of the day there's no way I can be found acceptable, I know I'm going to lose, I cannot be saved, we cannot bring full effort and energy to bear on the Christian life if we really believe at the end of the day we're going to end up failures. There is no reason for us to have that thought. He intends for you to be successful. He intends for you to be saved. He intends to redeem you. He came here so as to bring a large number of redeemed ones with Him into that eternal abode.
To bring many sons to glory. The law, our law, is something we ought to rejoice in, and it ought to motivate us and encourage us and stimulate us to love, to good deeds, to work even harder. That's the law that we live under. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. The old law, yes, has also set us free from the law where we are enslaved to things of the flesh. Okay? Verse 3. For what the law, the old law that is, could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. We needed something, and He did something. It says, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. The law couldn't do it. Why? Its power is weakened by the flesh here, the entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. But the Son came and was an offering for sin. He condemned sin. He subdued it. He overcame it. He deprived it of its power. And all of us who have taken Him up on His wonderful gift, we can overcome because of that very sacrifice. Look at verse 4. So that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We don't walk according to that flesh. That all that stuff has been condemned. We walk by something more than that. Notice again verse 4, so that. That is a purpose clause. Our lives are governed not by the standards and according to the dictates of the flesh, but we are controlled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants, the Holy Spirit gets. The Holy Spirit asks, we respond. The Holy Spirit points a direction, we go that direction. We used to do all those things for the flesh, but no more. We don't live after the flesh. We live after the Spirit. Verse 5. Oops, one too many. Let's go back. There's no 5, so let's just read it together. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6 now. For the mind set on the flesh is death. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. What a difference between the two of these things. The death, all the compromise, the misery that arises from sin, both now and forever, that is death. But something better has come. Something better has come. And the Holy Spirit brought it. Sense and reason with the Spirit has come. Both now and forever. Jesus and His leaving promised to send the Holy Spirit to not only bring back to their memory all things He had said, but to lead them into all the truth. That truth which sets us free from the law of sin and death and brings us into a law of life. Christian brothers and sisters, keep fighting. Keep with it. Yes, there's a struggle. But the very nature of the fact they're struggling shows you which direction you've set your sail. That you're of the Spirit. That you no longer desire to be of the flesh. Let's look at verse 7. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. The mind that's on the flesh, its carnal thoughts, its purposes, those things are hostile to God. Verse 8, but on the other hand, we want to be pleasing to God. That flesh cannot be pleasing to God. We have to be of the Spirit. When we cater to the appetites and the impulses of the flesh, we cannot please or satisfy our God. Cannot do it. Verse 9, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Clearly, they had problems. They're wondering old law, new law. They're going back and forth about a number of things as you look back through this whole thing. They even had some that came up with this wild idea. Notice chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may increase? That was their best answer to the conflicting natures. These people had problems. And yet he says, you are not of the flesh, but you are of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yes, we've got struggles, folks, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Keep the struggle going. You have everything set on the Spirit. You're trying to mortify the things of the flesh, be dead to the things of the flesh. Keep fighting. Again, verse 10. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. You are alive, even though you might be quite frustrated with yourself at this moment as you're trying to mortify that particular principle of sin in your life. Not an excuse, but a reality of where things are at right now. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. I know it's frustrating, but keep on fighting. Put those things to death. Be of the Spirit, all of the Spirit. Your mind is there, your life is there, your love is there. Everything you want is of the Spirit. And be mortifying those things of the flesh. 12 again. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit, listen again, you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. That is so encouraging to me. I will live. Yes, Rob is frustrated with himself from time to time. But Rob is going to live because he is of the Spirit. He got into Jesus Christ and he lives after the Spirit. And with every ounce and fiber of his ability and through much prayer, through working with his brothers and sisters to help him, he is day by day mortifying the things of the flesh. And when I do, I will live. 14, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Yes, he is proud of you. Yes, he wants you. Yes, he loves you. And yes, he is waiting to welcome you home. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. You have a right to do that.
He desires us to cry out to Him and to call Him Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit. You are in Jesus Christ. You are living after the things of the Spirit, mortifying the things of the flesh. And the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. When we confess Him before men, what is our Savior willing to do before His Father in heaven? Confess us before the Father who is in heaven. And as our spirit is doing these things of the Spirit Himself confesses with our spirit, we are children of God. And if children, heirs also. Heirs of God. And fellow heirs with Christ. And such wonderful things. It's almost hard to speak them. A wonderful thing. Have Jesus as our elder brother and a fellow heir and our Savior to get to go where He came from and to be there forever. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. The lesson is yours tonight. We went a little bit of overtime. I apologize for that. I hope you find it edifying and worth it to do so. If you want to be cut into this wonderful blessing that we have and the assurance of the salvation of our souls, you have heard the methodology tonight to do just that. To walk day after day after day knowing that you're a child of God, a son, an heir to all of this. We need to be confident in it. Yes, we get frustrated. We ought not to get discouraged to the point we think about giving up. Because as the brother prayed up here at the beginning of all this, He loves us despite our problems and our difficulties. When we're in Jesus Christ, living after the things of the Spirit, mortifying the flesh, He is very pleased to look at us as sons and daughters and children of His and heirs of the promise. So we need to take some satisfaction in that and let it motivate us to work harder and be more diligent day after day after day after day. Encourage our brethren with these kind of things. And talk to those who are out here in a lost and dying world about the wonderful things we have found in Jesus Christ. Tonight, the lesson is yours. If something in there has spoken to you, touched you, encouraged you to take that step to being a Christian, maybe you're here tonight and you didn't think that it could really be for you. I had a man ask me one time, he says, what's the difference? He says, I know if I'm baptized, I'm going to be sinned. He says, I'm in sin now, and if I'm baptized, I'll be in sin then. We talked about all the reasons tonight, what the difference is being inside or outside of Jesus Christ and still having issues and problems in our life. In fact, I asked him, I said, any of your kids, I knew he had three kids, did any of your kids ever break a window? Yeah, they sure did. I said, did you throw them out of the house? I said, no. Why not? Well, they're my kids. So the neighbor kid came over and he broke your window. Would you be upset? Very much so upset. I said, would you throw him out? Wow, that seems a little rude. I said, what if he came back the second day and broke another window? He said, yeah, I'd probably throw him out. What if he came back the third day and broke the window again? I'd probably call the police. Yeah, I understand. Why? Because it's not his kid. We are children of God. He longs for us, desires us, wants us, is patient with us. Wants none to perish, wants all to come to repentance. He wants us, folks. Have confidence and love and motivate you day after day. So if you're here tonight and you're ready for all that, you want to step into that and you realize it can be for you. Why not tonight? All things are ready if your heart is ready. Would you put away sinful things? Would you start your journey of putting away and being dead to the things of the flesh? Would you start your walk in walking after the things of the Spirit? Would you confess your belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God and be baptized this very night for the forgiveness of your sins? If you will do that, His promise to you is this: he that believeth and is baptized will be saved. It's a promise, folks, from Jesus Himself. If tonight you've done that, but there's been way too much flesh, and we really haven't been struggling. We've not really warred with it. We kind of waved the white flag and just sort of gave ourselves to it and said, that victory can't be. Tonight's the night. Let us repent of that sin. If it's of a public nature, let's publicly confess it and we'll pray with you and for you for forgiveness of it. If it's of a private nature, go to God in prayer and ask for forgiveness of it. And in either case, let's go forward doing the deeds that are in keeping with repentance. Enlist the help of your brothers and sisters in this process and pray without ceasing. If tonight you simply need the prayers of the congregation, whatever your need might be, won't you make it known by coming forward as we stand and sing.